Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the South Carolina Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Fishermen Ministry South Carolina Sunday morning service. Worship the Lord.
One day every knee will bow. the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Now is the time to worship.
Run into it, they you people.
Clap your hands, all 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 you people, and praise the Lord. Clap your hands, all you people, and praise the Lord.
Mother's Day to all mothers out there. You know, we've been, as a family, been reading in Samuel, been reading about King David, which I really hope to meet one day. I really do. I really, really do. I mean, David is an example to me of humility, faith, and receiving that grace of God. And we're in that part, and I forget exactly where in Samuel, and I'm not I don't really want to turn there and go over there because I'll end up going over the whole chapter, and that's not really what I want to do. Maybe it's what I should do. I don't know. But it was a part where he's kicking the Philistines' butt. He took back a lot of the land that the children of Israel gave up. And I say that word gave up because that's what they did. They gave it up to the enemy through their pride and rebellion and turning away from the Lord, and is what they did. And a lot of that started becoming restored. And David there, the promise to David was actually, becoming fulfilled at that time. And, he's king of Israel. The Lord had blessed him mightily. And one of the things that he did was he went to Jonathan's son, who was lame at his feet. And when I read this chapter, oh man, it was a very moving chapter, I should say. And he took Jonathan's son and had him and gave him, restored the land that Saul had unto Jonathan's son, set up servants for Jonathan's son, and then also had Jonathan's son eat with him at the king's table as one of the king's sons. I mean, I'm looking at this like as a full adoption to this guy that was lame at his feet, to his father got killed, and it just to me was it was a true blessing. And what came to mind in that is, the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee, where David took that love of Christ and the kindness of the Lord that was given unto David, and he turned around and gave it out. Okay, David did not forget, even though all the things that he was blessed with, he was there to serve and to take what the Lord has given him and give it out to others. And it was a mighty thing to me when I read it at that time. And then we actually looked up the difference of the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. And you can see where the Sea of Galilee, where you see there's like homes around the Sea of Galilee, people fishing at the Sea of Galilee. You see green all over the Sea of Galilee as we were looking up pictures. And now, and then you've seen the Dead Sea. And although it was a beautiful water, it was a beautiful water to look at. There's no trees. There was, sand and dust everywhere. I mean, it was really desolate. It was very desolate. I don't think no fish live in there or anything, because it's just way too salty. And what happens is that water becomes stagnant because it has nowhere to go. It has nowhere to go. And it works like that with us as well. I mean, if we sit there, it kind of reminds me of the man and the talent, and this just came to mind, where he took that talent and hid it in the dirt and did nothing with it. And the others that took the talents what the Lord had gave them, and they multiplied it. Okay? And it's the same way, man. Look, the Lord gives us His love. The Lord gives us His Spirit. The Lord gives us His faith. Why? That we can go and give it unto others. And share that gospel and that love of Christ with others. That's why He gives it to us. And the more we give, it's not like all of a sudden you're out of it. You run out. No, the Lord gives you more. He sees that you're faithful. He gives you more. That's what He did with the guys that had the talents. Well, I'll give you authority over what? 10 cities, 2 cities, 5 cities, whatever the case was. Don't have it here in front of me. But it was just an amazing story. And that gift of love that Christ gives us, what are we doing with it? Are we sharing that gospel with others? See, even the times, our testimony simply is one of just us absolutely, falling down, messing up, and we cried out on the Lord, and yet he had mercy, and he picked us up. And he picked us up. But I want to turn to Peter. I want to go to chapter 5. 1 Peter. Yes, thank you. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, I'll start at verse 1. And there's just really just a few points I really want to highlight in here. And it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock." And it's interesting, Brad, because you're sharing some struggles that is going on. Okay, you're sharing some struggles that are going on. And what kind of comes to mind is my own struggles that I've had. And, you know, we talked about Paul and the preaching of the goodness of God. And when he was actually preaching the goodness of God and he preached that sermon, he was very ill to the point where he didn't go out to the conference that year. But yet he stood on the goodness of God. And yet with that, he could still preach the goodness of God. Okay, now Paul was one, and it would have reminded me of Paul was one where he had, his family had left. Okay, and he lost his home. He stayed with Brother Ricky, stayed out in Texas. He had a job that paid very well, that he had gotten laid off. And he ended up working at Walmart, would play for a period of time in Walmart for a period of time and all these things. And then Paul gets, the Lord blesses him with a family, and that was a family in Christ. He didn't get another wife and another child or none of those things, but he had a family and a family in Christ. And he got, there was a church that came to the inheritance that he received that the Lord blessed him with. And then there was a church, the same building we are in now. I say church because church is the body, but the building where the church can meet, I should say, right here. And that was a huge blessing. And one of the things is through those experiences that he's been through, what he had a knowledge of was just that, the goodness of God. Okay, he actually was that ensample. Okay, he was an example unto those that could grab a hold of and attain the goodness of Christ and the faithfulness of Christ. And then we've seen that come all the way through, all the way to the end, which was a beautiful thing. And the Lord revealed that to me in a way that was unspeakable. The joys of heaven came down, and I knew it just in an hour after that happened. Okay. Sometimes there's things that we go through and where we actually have some of that, and Peter also talks about that fiery trial which comes to try you. Okay, and the thing is that what's the most precious thing is his faith. And the things that you might struggle with today, Brad, and the things that you have struggled with in the past, and the things that you have gone through and the Lord has brought you through, see, that's a testimony. See, that's a testimony of how good and faithful Christ is. I mean, it's not a good, it's like, you know, it's never, it's really not a testimony about us, and our testimony really doesn't matter, but a testimony of the goodness of Christ, which Paul, and I'm talking about Brother Paul, talked about. And of course, Apostle Paul, of course, it's all written in there, but he talked about. And see, that is part of sharing that love, going back to the Sea of Galilee that I'm talking about. Sharing that love of Christ, that faith of Christ, and his faithfulness to us. Yeah, those trials are not fun. It's not like, oh man, who's ready to sign up for a fiery trial? I am, you know. I don't see any many hands out here going, yes, that's it, yeah, please, you know, over here. You know, I don't see that. I don't see that. And of course, I'm not like, that fiery trial, who signed up? Ooh, whoa. And the fiery trial doesn't come from the Lord. No, I mean, he's not the one that tempts, okay? We are tempted by our own lust, all right? The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, all right? There's many things that go on as you're talking about what life is trying to hand you, which is the world's trying to hand you is a pile of garbage. What the world's trying to hand you is a pile of garbage, and what the Lord is handing you is love, peace, life, and liberty. Okay. Huh? That's what? Brad says it's a lot better. I'd rather pursue that. But he's offered that, and his faithfulness comes through, and where you see that he redeems and he picks us up out of the mire. Okay, well, all that is now we have a testimony to share that love of Christ with someone else. An opportunity. See, what David did to Jonathan's son was he had the opportunity to share that love of Christ which was given unto him unto Jonathan's son. See, that was a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing that happened. And see, when with our testimony that we each have, we have that same opportunity too. We have that same opportunity too. I mean, I can go on and I can look at each and every single one of you as a testimony of the faithfulness of Christ and the goodness that he shared with each and one of you personally and how he gave to you his son personally. He spared not his own son for you. And I've seen it operate. And don't tell me it hasn't operated. If you think it's not, has not operated, come talk to me. I'll remind you where he operated for your sake, okay? If you forgot, I'd be quickly to kind of go over your life with a skipping stone and how he operated in your life in a good way. And how he's been faithful to you regardless of you or in spite of you. Amen? All right, but just as the children of Israel that you were talking there. And see, you know, as I see a couple things go on, just as the children of Israel, and I hope I get to the second point without getting too far off, just as I seen with the children of Israel, they had that testimony too. Remember that first generation? When you were talking about the Egyptian army coming down on the children of Israel. And the Red Sea opened up. They passed through. They had an experience then. But it didn't profit them because of unbelief. That evil heart of unbelief springing up troubled them. It really did. And they did not grab a hold of that promise of God that was there for them. It was a promise of God. It was a promise of God all the way back from Abraham. And the other thing is, if we can yet just set our eyes not on the things of this earth, but on the blessing of God, and get our eyes off ourselves and put it on Him, and put it on to serve Him. To serve Him. I mean, Davey, I don't know if y'all's listened to the last Davey's, but he's talking about us getting the Lord's back. And we take that focus on Him and serving Him and making that choice where we can share that goodness and that faithfulness and that gospel of Christ, that power of that gospel working in our lives to share with others that they may receive, just as David did, just as Christ did, just as many of the examples that we have that walked in faith did. See, then walking through those moments in that fiery trial, it can just be another exciting thing to have a testimony to share the goodness and faithfulness of Christ to others. But I want to carry down in 2 Peter because I didn't really get to the part that I really wanted to. Neither as being lords over God's inheritance, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. See, this is an important part. Because one of the things that I see when I read about David and as I kind of look at David is I see in a humility. I see a humility in David. As he went to the Lord in a servant's heart. Because what I seen when he went to the Lord, most of the time when he went into the battles, he'd say, Lord, should I go up against the Philistines? Yes, David, go. Lord, should I go after those men that took our wives and our children? Yes, David, go. You know, you're talking about being an example of the flock. David was surely that. And he did it in humility. He didn't come off his own pride and did it and thought he was deserving of winning that battle or deserving of getting his wife and children back. He didn't thought himself deserving of any of those things. He really didn't. Said to him, oh mercy, have mercy on me, O Lord. And then he would ask what the Lord would have him do. He didn't go off his emotion with vengeance and fire and those things. And when he messed up and Nathan came to him and told him his wrong, you read Psalm 51 and you see, look, have mercy on me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. See, that's humility, folks. You didn't see David for a second sit there and try to justify himself at all. In fact, he made it very clear that he was dead wrong. He made it very clear to the Lord that he was dead wrong. And he didn't go back and say, but Lord, when I did this, or Lord, but when I did that, or Lord, but when I did this. No. No, he was in humility. Just praying and asking God for mercy. And then he wanted that mercy and that loving kindness and all those things to what? Teach what? transgressors the ways of the Lord. Once again, it was to take that goodness and that grace of God and pass it to others. So when I see where the Lord testifies of David, of how a man after mine own heart, I see very clearly that being the case. Very clearly. Humble yourselves. And it also says here, for God resisteth the proud and giveth great grace to the humble. Look, I don't want God to resist me. You know, I look at Saul. The Lord resisted Saul. He was proud. Saul thought he was deserving. Saul justified himself. Saul blamed others. He wasn't trying to grab a hold of that grace of God and give it to others. No, he was trying to put the blame on them and throw them under the bus before the Lord, before he got hit. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Now, who does the exalting here? The Lord does the exalting. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what? He shall lift you up. See, the proud was trying to lift themselves up. The humble is where the Lord lifts you up. And when the Lord lifts you up, that is very different. And see, that's where people can recognize the grace of God. And you can share the grace of God. And that's why when people will come to you and say, man, I've had it happen. I'm so proud of you, bro. Look at what you did. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. I tell you what I did. I screwed up. I fell to the ground. I messed up over and over and over again. Not just before Christ, okay, but after Christ, over and over and over and over again. Okay, that's what I did. Look, it is Him that established these things that are above, abundantly above I can ask or think. It is Jesus. Okay, and that availability and that power of the gospel working in my life is the only reason why I'm here. The only reason why I'm here. And that availability of the power of the gospel to work in your life is right there for you too, to accept and to exceed and to walk successfully in His plan. See, that's available for you, to the people that are telling me that, and for you that are out here just listening to me. That's available. All it says here is to what? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. It's like when somebody says, and we had, you know, just last sermon listening to David, he says, take care. No, thank you. I gave my cares to Jesus. You can have your cares. Amen. So you cast all those cares upon Him. And just have that serve. Just you want to serve Him. And the rest of the stuff, don't worry about. The bolts in the engine coming completely apart at work or at home or whatever area. Cast all your care upon Him and say, Lord, how can I serve You in this situation that You may be magnified and that Your gospel may be magnified, that You may be glorified, not me, but You, Lord, because You're the only one that can fix this doggone mess. I can, but I know You are well able, so I give it all to You. Be sober, be vigilant, be vigilant. Don't say that, does it? Be sober, be vigilant. There you go. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Humble yourself, cast all your care upon Him, and it highlights that adversary. Oh, he's going to wait till you're off course. He's going to try to hit you hard. He don't want you to succeed in Christ Jesus and His victory that He's given to you. He doesn't want you to be successful in Christ Jesus. You heard that saying, misery love company, man. He wants to drag you down with him. See, the war's already won. But He wants to drag you down on the defeating side. And if you haven't been steadfast, we can start today. We can start right now. What does it say in John? In John it says, I would not you sin, brethren, but if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He's what? Faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins. Maybe we can start right now. You know what? Right now. Not like 5 minutes from now. Like this very moment. It's an awesome thing, man. Here's the victory laid out. And the Lord is well able. As it says here in verse 10, I'm going to read it one more time. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Who does it? He does. And it's not like you sitting waiting around and say, all right, Lord, I'm waiting for this. No, you make a choice to humble yourself. And in humility, a lot of that times it's just recognizing that you are wrong. That's why we ask that may you have mercy on me, O Lord. As David did, it was because David recognized that he was wrong. And we cast all our cares upon Him and we go about being about His business. And He's well able. I don't care what the situation is, what it may look like, how deep it is. We've gotten ourselves in some deep stuff, haven't we? Has the Lord not came through? Just like the children of Israel, that the Red Sea opened for us. We walked right across. But let's be part of that second generation who grabs a hold of that promise. Amen? This is our starting ground. Let's start. I'm done. 88.
pray my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. You lift my burden, and I'll rise with you. I'm dancing on this mountain top to see your King.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.